crazy. I want to know what this is all about. Mm-hmm. My psychology came back in, my psychology of, like, you know, the mind and how we operate. And I saw this amazing thing that had happened in a class where I went from, like, stressed out to just beyond, like, floating once I came out of the class. And I thought, there's something real about this. I wanted to know the science, why it did that. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to become a yoga teacher. And it all kind of came together when I was in my teacher training. Like, my town does not, it's a smaller town. I live in Mishawaka, Indiana. And we didn't have any major yoga studios yet. And yoga was becoming the new thing. So it just hit me, you know, I think this is the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to put, you know, the work into building my studio. And the job that I was in at the time, once again, I got, they had a reduction in force. They cut my position. So it was like, all right, well, here's the universe basically saying, here you go. It's time for you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that job, so I probably wouldn't have done it, you know. So I started my business, and I opened my doors in my yoga studio in January 2011, and it's been going ever since.
January 2011. So that's great, Liz. That's you're at 5 years, more than 5 years.
Yeah.
Most businesses don't make it that long. You know that.
Right. Yep, exactly. And I'm proud of that because we are in a smaller town and, you know, it's, it is tough. It's really, really hard, you know,
where do
to
you,
run a brick and mortar.
Where do you, you're in Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't happen to know a lady named Patria Eichelman?
No.
She was a big she had a Pilates studio. I'm not sure exactly where in Indiana she was. Okay, well, that's awesome. So let me ask you this regarding question two, how significant played a role. I think significant played a role. It seems to me that there's quite a few tracks. Motherhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Business ownership.
Right.
You felt you had some inside desire that you were going to be your own boss. The whole fitness, health, yoga, nutrition, fix your mind, that whole personal health, right?
Right.
Christianity?
Yeah, I would say that initially, yeah. I don't like to call it religion, honestly. I believe in Christianity. I believe that Jesus...
would you like to...
Everything about Jesus. I believe Jesus is our Savior. That, but I also have a different view now because of another spiritual happening.
Okay.
So, yeah, you asked about this one. From childhood, you know, not having a father around, a relationship. Were always something I read books on, you know, how to have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Man, I can't tell you, I probably read more books on relationships than most therapists. And because I didn't have it modeled for me.
Right.
So I'm a learner. I'm a person who likes to educate myself, and I wanted to learn and read. How do you do it? You know, how do you make it happen? And there was always something inside of me that did not feel right in a relationship. Always. When I would get into a relationship, I felt it didn't feel right. There was nothing comfortable to me about being in relationships.
Mm.
And I always thought there was something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I do it, you know? How come other people can do it, but I can't? And so in 2013, I was going through another breakup. And I was like, what the heck? There's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the common denominator here. So clearly it's me. So, you know, it's finally once, you know, we like to play victim and put it off on everyone else. It's that person's fault. They did this to me.
Right.
And I realized I can't do that anymore. I'm, you know, however old I was, what, 30, 5 at the time, and I was like, I can't do that. I'm the common denominator.
Right.
I have to figure out why I am unable to be in a relationship. Do I just simply deep down not want it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there something wrong with me that needs to be fixed?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I choosing the wrong guys?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because you hear that with people who have, like, no dad in the house, they've got daddy issues, and they pick the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Until they fix that issue, and then maybe someday they pick the right guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I read so many years about this stuff, and I decided, well, what happened was I was crying in the car one day. I was crying. I just left my mom and her husband, and they have a cute relationship. They're in their late 60s, and I love them, and they have a lot of fun together. And I went and hung out with them, and I left them being depressed. Mm-hmm. Thinking, and crying like, oh God, I just want a relationship like that. You know, I want that in my life. I want someone that I can have fun with and feel comfortable around and trust. And I was in the car and I was crying and I was praying those words, you know, and I said these words. I said, God, please send me someone to love. I have so much love to give and I just want to give it to someone. And I'll tell you what, it's like God was sitting next to me once again, and this hadn't happened to me in a very long time, honestly, since that day in my bathroom when I decided to keep my baby. It's like God was sitting next to me, and God said, and it's pretty comical, because I said, please send me someone to love. I have so much love to give, and I want to give it to someone. And this is what I heard. No, you need to love yourself. And I was like, I stopped crying, and I was like, whoa, hello. And then I started to be a doer like I am. I'm type A, I'm a doer. I started to pray and talk again, and I was like, okay, so I need to love myself. I've heard that before. I need to love myself and work out, and maybe I need to go to church more. Maybe I need to do this more.
Hmm.
And it's like, once again, those words came back, and it said, no, I am you. You need to learn that and then love yourself.
Mm.
And I was like, I was floored. I was quiet after that. Because I was like, wait a second. I am you. I am you. I am you. God just, that voice inside of me, if it's God, if it's my soul, if it's whatever,
mm-hmm.
said, I am you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to think about all these Christians like Jesus and Buddha and yoga sages that were like, no, no, the divine is in you. It's,
right.
it's you.
Right.
It is, and if you don't get that,
yeah.
then you're going to be searching elsewhere for this love.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I decided in that moment to take a full year off of romantic dating, romantic relationships.
Hmm.
To read spiritual books, to dive into this idea that I am you.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I took a whole year off, and it was really the best thing I ever did. It changed me. It changed my mind. It changed what I turned to for comfort.
Mm.
It was literally the best thing I ever did, because now my view on relationships is so different. It's not about, and I had an epiphany in my house one day where I just fell to my knees and cried because I realized that there's nothing wrong with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. and for all of those years that I was reading those books on how to fix myself or how to make myself a perfect mate,
yeah.
you know, it's like there was never anything wrong with me.
Yeah.
It was like during that one year, I looked back at my whole entire life and I realized that the path that I had been down was there to teach me, look, you didn't have a dad in the home. You were not shown love. So how could you ever have known how to receive it
mm-hmm.
and or give it back in a way that was a male-female masculine feminine relationship needs to work.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just didn't know how.
Right.
That was such a great awakening for me.
Wow, you're going to make my job very, very difficult, Liz.
I'm sorry.
I have to put this in a nice, tight 700-800 word post. This is very, really, really good. People are going to, I think, really be inspired by your story. One of the questions is, what obstacles have you faced in the pursuit of significance? And certainly you've got a whole bunch, the obstacle of getting pregnant and making that decision, the obstacle of being fired and as a single mom with a big mortgage, et cetera, the obstacle of being raised by, you know, without a dad in the house, and now you're doing that again, right? You're still a single mom, I think, correct?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I wrote down a single mom of a single mom. That certainly has challenges. What would you say, how have you overcome them? Has it been this inside spiritual voice that has been your, did you see them as challenges, or how would you answer that question? What obstacles have you faced in pursuit of what you want in life, your significance, and how did you overcome them?
Many, like all those, a lot of times it's, those obstacles are, mental.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
Internal.
I believe that. And
mm-hmm.
It's all really mental. It's how you view the world. It's playing the victim mode. I think the most powerful thing about being a single mom or a single parent is that you have no other choice but to take action. It's all on you.
Yeah.
So in a partnership, I might have, you know, put my responsibility or blamed my partner and said, hey, I need you to do this for me. But in a single parent home, you're the one who has to make the choices and you're the one who has to take action.
Yeah.
So it truly was always about taking action.
Okay, I think I understand that. And then another concept I recently wrote about that matches that, have you heard the phrase, burn the boats?
Mm-mm.
Let me just quickly share this with you. It had to do, I might not get the history exactly right, but back before the United States had been discovered, a European explorer went to down to South America to try to take all the gold that the Aztecs had. And many, many explorers had tried to do this before and all failed. And so what this guy did, he went down with only a couple hundred people. And the civilization that he was attempting to attack was many, many hundreds of thousands, huge. And so they were really outmatched. And when the commander landed his ships on the shores, before attacking, the story is that he spent 2 or 3 days inspiring his men to what their task was and how they're going to do this and how they could be successful. And then right before he led them into battle, he said, burn the boats.
Hmm.
So that there was no, they were either going to go and die or they're going to go and be successful, but they were not going back to their life as it was. And that reminded me, when you're talking about being a single parent, it doesn't matter. You can't, you just must go forward, right? Otherwise, because there's no one else to look to. And that's how these guys work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta make the choice. Like, I found that many times. And it's easy to see that when, for example, I would get into a relationship and I would put a lot of responsibility onto my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see it. I would see it, but I would still do it anyways. I think, and that's a big, for me, that was a big lesson in when I started meditating in my 1 year of not dating. That was my year of meditation, where my meditation practice got really, really strong. And I started to see where ego played out
mm-hmm.
big time.
Mm-hmm.
And how the ego likes to, you know, make you the victim, build you up, but also make you the victim. And I look at myself, and when I was single and really I like to use the word dominate. When I was single and I was dominating my life, and then I would get into a relationship and I would put a lot of expectations on someone else to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the big difference in that. I was like, whoa, that can't happen.
Right.
And a lot of eye-opening happened in my meditations and just really getting real with myself. You have to shine the light on that stuff. Otherwise, you don't learn from it.
Yep. You got it right. Okay. Much simpler. What's one thing you wish you knew 10 years ago?
Oh, boy. How hard the internet business is. That's definitely for sure. I would say, gosh, there's so many. I don't have that one big screaming thing.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned how hard business is, and I think that's been in my experience too. It's really hard to create something from nothing. And
yes.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of failure. And, hopefully enough success to keep you moving along.
Right.
So that's a good one. So what, any others come to mind?
I would say, I wish I would have known more about my spiritual practice 10 years ago.
Great.
Because I have so much more peace now.
Yeah.
And my son would have been younger, and I would have had that younger age for him.
Yeah, that's great. Okay.
I didn't even tell you this part of my story, but when my son was...
Go ahead.
When my son was 10, I let him go live with his dad. So he's been with his dad for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
So he's coming back for 8th grade, but we wanted to co-parent.
Yeah.
And he lived with his dad for 4 years.
How's that worked out? Has it been good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And okay. I see him once a month now for the last 4 years. Between the ages of 10 and, well, he's 13, so he'll come back here this, so not 4 years, 3 years, three and a half. But he will have been down there for 3 years.
Wow.
And that allowed me some space to, start my second business.
Okay. What was the primary reason for that decision?
His dad asked me.
Okay.
And I couldn't say no,
Did the fact that you grew up without a dad, did that weigh heavily on that decision?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Both of us, him and his dad and myself, we both did not have dads.
Oh, is that right?
We both knew the impact that had on us.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did not want that for our son.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he asked me, and I was like, oh, my God, how can I? Because we then lived 6.5 hours apart.
Yeah, goodness.
And so I had to really, was the hardest thing I ever did. That was harder than starting a business, and that's hard. Just looking at my son every day, knowing for 2 months that he was going to go live 6.5 hours away, it just tore me up.
Must have, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I have incredible admiration for single moms, so much so that I married one when she was, I was about 9 years ago. And she had lost her husband and was raising a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And I found her online, and we fell in love and got married, and I was even able to adopt the kids. So,
that's great.
But the respect I had for what she did when she was a single, it's just incredible, the demands that are, all of the, not just the demands, but just all the stress and the worry and the amount of work. It's incredible, so... question six, what's one hope you have for the next 10 years?
Let's see here. One hope that I have for the next 10 years is I would like to become a more well-known author. I definitely want to spread the light of what I have learned spiritually and with personal empowerment. I want to spread that throughout the world. And really, I would like to focus on people who have grown up in single-parent homes and are working in the corporate world, or they're working in jobs that maybe they don't necessarily love. And I want to empower them to see beyond that, you know, and to see, to really go into their heart and their passion and realize that they really truly can start walking that path down to the, towards their goals and their dreams, and whatever their dream may be, that it's in them for a reason. And that's really where their happiness is going to lie, is when they follow that. And they, you know, because it's, it really is, we have to make money. And we have to, you know, I really believe that our happiness trumps our money, but they're both important. I'm not going to say that I want to be making little amounts of money while I'm following my passion. Heck no, I want to have abundance. I want to have massive abundance. But I'm not. I'm making less than I did when I worked in the corporate world. But I wake up with passion and freedom every day. And that, for me, is everything.
And I think that's right. My next book hasn't quite it's going to be published in April. It's called Turning Inspiration into Action. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's really about listening to, setting your priorities about what's really important to you in your life, choosing to do those things that touch your heart. And then once you figure what that is, like for you, opening a yoga studio or whatever, then just getting to work. And when you do those three things, you evoke three powers: the power of priority, the power of the heart, and the power of the universe. And that gives you all the strength you need to overcome what we call the gravity of negative forces holding your life in place, which could be, you know, procrastination, self-doubt, cultural expectation, all that stuff that prevents people from doing what they know, if they listen, what they know they really want to do.
And great, I like that.
You reminded me of a quote when you talked about you want to be more well-known and spread the light. And if I haven't used this quote, I'll probably use it for your post. People who live in darkness need the light that you have.
It's true. You know, and I have a book, a spiritual book called The Course in Miracles. And it says that we, and I write about this in my book, and everything came together in that 1 year, like meditation and then the neuroscience of meditation and then spirituality, talking about how we're either asleep or awake. And the neuroscience of the brain says that it's the same thing. You're either asleep or you're awake. You're either on autopilot or you're conscious in the present moment. And spiritual books say that exact same thing. You're either asleep, you're delusional, or you're awake in your spirit and you're in the moment. And when you're in the moment, I truly believe that's when you're in your spirit. Like when you're in the moment, you're actually fully conscious and you're present. You're more in your spirit at that point in time than you are in your ego.
Oh, great stuff. One more question. Are there any books or resources that you'd like to recommend to our readers? And maybe you just mentioned one, the spiritual book, but I won't answer the question.
Mine.
Happy, Healthy, Fit. I'm gonna push Happy, Healthy, Fit on question six. And elsewhere, like in your intro, so it doesn't sound self-serving. And that way your number seven can be sort of resources other than yours that have helped you.
Well, I have two that I love. But I'd say if I have to pick one.
No, you don't.
What?
You don't need one. Just books or resources, however many you have, would be fine.
Okay, good. I love the book series called Conversations with God. It was such an empowering book for me at that point in my life.
Yeah.
It was all about, look, you are the master of your ship.
Yeah.
And you can't ask for what you want. You have to create it. You are a creator. God made you just like, you know, it says that you're made in God's image. The Bible says that.
Yeah.
But churches have a tendency to say, ask and you'll receive. And so it's putting the power outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, I claim this, I am this, I can create this.
Yeah.
You can still ask for what you want, but you can ask till you're blue in the face. You must claim it and take action, and then the universe begins to align for you.
Yep, I agree.
And that's the Conversations with God book. It was really an eye-opening book for our own self-power, and that God is alive in us as us. And that's what I took from that book. And then the Course in Miracles, it's called A Course in Miracles.
A Course in Miracles.
And this, yeah, A Course in Miracles. And
okay.
This one is all about recognizing the ego and the spirit within.
Okay, great. Ego versus spirit. You made me think of this twice. And when you just talked about conversation with God, one of the things that had a really huge spiritual impact on me was, maybe 4 years, 5 years ago, I heard the phrase, you are magnificence in human form.
I love that.
Yeah, and I thought about it, and I really struggled with it for a long time because it felt so egotistical. How can I be magnificence? But if we are made in God's image or whatever I'm a big fan of the Tao, and it's all, so much of it, Liz, is the same thing repeated in different ways. I think we really do have, and that's what my next book is about, we have these powers inside us. And when we get quiet and when we get real and when we get out of our head and into our heart, we can create so much power that it almost seems like life is easy. And in fact, that's how it's supposed to be, because most of the time when our life is hard, it's because we're living up in our head and we're not living in the moment and we want something to be different than it is today. Which, of course, it can't be different than it is today. So that was my big one, was you are magnificence in human form. It took me at least 2 years before I could actually let myself think that way about myself.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
Yeah,
I understand that. And I have two things to say about that. First, it's not about you. And we have a tendency to have guilt and shame around our own magnificence,
that was my head worried about what it meant,
yeah,
and what I looked like to others if I believe that, rather than just
right.
being in my spirit, which you just shine.
Right, exactly. But I totally understand where you're at, because I'm working on another book series in an online course for and this, I don't want to put this out there yet, but it's about like owning the God or goddess that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when I kept working on the goddess theme, I was like, oh man, people are going to be like, who does she think she is?
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had this moment where my spirit said to me, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. It's about what your message is going to do.
Yeah.
And it took me time to get over that and to accept that message from my spirit that it's not about me. But then I got to a point where I was like, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great to be at that totally other place, you know, where you're like, okay, now I have comfort that I can get this message out.
Yeah.
And it's so needed.
Well, awesome. Well, I've taken an hour of your time. You are an incredible woman. It's really been fun getting to know you a little bit, and you've given me a lot of work here. Any final thoughts or comments before I get busy?
Not really. I mean, I think I said it all. I had had one thing, but I remember I said I have two things that split my mind, but I don't know the other one.
It was,
I don't remember.
I said I struggle with magnificence in human form, and you said you had two things.
Oh, yes, yes.
One
yes.
is not
okay.
about me. And...
Yeah, so that's the first thing. But The Course in Miracles, the book, it talks about same thing, how we are God. We are God. God and our brothers and our sisters around us, if we do not forgive them, and that's where Jesus comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus forgave. Jesus said, you know, forgive your brothers and sisters. They know not what they do. And I like to go on with that and say, they're asleep. They don't know their spirit. They are
right.
living in their ego most of the time.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase, like you just said, about magnificence, that I thought about even getting tattooed on my arm.
Hmm.
And it's this phrase. It's from your grandeur, you can only bless. Because you are God, and you can only bless people. That alone is your purpose. It's not judgment. It's not attack. It's not separation.
Yeah.
It's literally knowing who you are and knowing that from that place,
yeah.
the only thing that you have to do is bless.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. So you reminded me of a book that I'm going to recommend to you. It's called Power Versus Force.
Mm.
It's incredible. And you just made me think about, so this guy, I forget his name, David Hawkins, I think. He has done scientific studies about different levels of consciousness.
Mm.
And when we, he finally helped me to understand this idea that there is no one truth. The way you see the world, the way I see the world, if I'm having trouble with a coworker, or you said, you know, you might have somebody who is asleep, right? They don't, it's not that they don't know better. It's that they actually are experiencing the world in a really different way. And that if you're, there's a midpoint line in power versus force, and he has a gradation of about 13 levels of power. From you know, complete and utter despair and negativity at the bottom to full enlightenment at the top, and until you're about halfway up, the entire world you view has a negative force that it imposes on you, and when you cross that level in from negative to positive, you move from the world, you see in the world as a place of meanness and where force is put on you, to a world that's empowering. And the higher you go up the ladder, you know, the more you change your worldview and the more power you have to do things. And when I reading through that book, it was the first time that really helped me understand how conflict can happen. Because the person you're having conflict with not only has their own perspective, but they also might have a completely different worldview based on their level of consciousness being higher or lower than yours.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Sounds awesome.
Very cool.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, I'll let you go. Are you going to be down at Paleo FX?
I think so. I haven't bought my flight yet. I was waiting to see if they're having me speak, and I haven't had any confirmation on that yet. So I want to go. I might not go, though.
Okay.
If I'm not speaking, I might not, because I have a... If I go, everyone wants to go with me, and it's a huge expense.
Yeah, no, I understand. I make a lot of decisions that way, too. If you let me speak, I'm there.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you do go, I'd love to meet you down there. And if not, I'll be in touch with you. I probably will start working on this in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and as I do, I'll reengage and just keep you along with the drafts. We'll do a first draft. I'll ask for your permission to review. Before I send it to our editor, then we'll go through the editing process, and then we'll end up with a final piece. One last thing I need from you is some photos.
Okay.
So what we do is we always have a stock photo that leads our blog post, but when we do our something significant, we like to have anything personal. You know, it could be a picture of you and your son or your studio or whatever you think fits your story that we're going to write around these 7 questions.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure thing.
All right, Liz. Well, you made my day. It was great listening to your story, and you've inspired me.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having me on, and it was nice talking, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, Liz. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.